This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, June 18th, 2021. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, President Joe Biden addresses the conference of the International Labour Organization. Child labour in the world increases. Workers in the global food supply chains are being hit hard. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
We're bringing a new vision and it's just in time from ashes. We give birth a new tradition, solidarity forever with the new millennium flavour.
This is Radio Labour. For only the third time in its 100-year history, a president of the United States has addressed the World Conference of the International Labour Organization. The ILO is the United Nations specialized agency focused on matters of work in the world. It creates basic global treaties called conventions on topics such as child labour. U.S. President Joe Biden addressed the ILO's International Labor Conference, being held online this year, and voiced strong support for unions. He was introduced by the ILO's Director General, Guy Ryder. Mr. Ryder is the first unionist to lead the organization. Mr. Ryder.
I am honored now to introduce His Excellency Joseph Biden, President of the United States of America. President Biden is the third president of the U.S. to address the International Labour Conference since his country became a member of the ILO in 1934. In 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt described the creation of the ILO as a wild dream made a reality. And in 1999, President Bill Clinton addressed the conference session which adopted the Convention on the Elimination of the Worst Forms of Child Labour, the only convention to have ever achieved universal ratification. President Biden has signaled strong commitment to labor and to employment issues, guided by considerations of decency and justice in both domestic and international policy, and with the imperative of building back better. Today, we thank President Biden for his message of encouragement to continue to strive for the realization of the ILO's values and principles. We appreciate his commitment to the ILO and for his taking the time to deliver this message of support that offers a very firm foundation for a reinforced and invigorated partnership.
Hi, everyone. I want to thank the International Labour Organization for everything you do. Just as it did when this organization was founded a century ago, democracy faces another test now. The autocrats of the world believe democracy can't compete in the 21st century. They became emboldened, and now they're coming after the rights of workers and the international labor standards that have long identified the ILO. They're betting we can't come through for working people, but they're wrong. As we emerge from this pandemic that has exacerbated inequity and put even greater strain on working families, we have to prove that democracy can deliver. We do that by empowering workers, raising wages, standing up for union rights, holding bad actors everywhere accountable when they subject their citizens to forced labor or child labor, even as they seek positions of global leadership, and centering workers in our trade policy, and building economies that bring everyone along. Look, autocrats can't build the strong, inclusive economies we all seek. They won't. And they won't win the future as a consequence. Democracies will. And America stands with you as we work to deliver good jobs with dignity and a strong, equitable economy. Thank you for what you're doing.
One of the missions of the ILO is to end child labor, but there has been a setback in that struggle. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
For the first time in 20 years, progress to end child labor in the world has stalled. In the past 4 years, the number of children in child labor has risen to 160 million worldwide. In that time, 8.4 million children have been added to the number of child laborers. Even worse, the number of children in hazardous work has risen to 79 million. Hazardous work is defined as work that is likely to harm the health and safety of a child. On June 12th, a week of action to eliminate child labor was started with the participation of unions all over the world. One of those labor organizations is Education International, the global union for teachers and other educators. Here is Dennis Signalo, the director of EI's African region. He mentions the UN's Sustainable Development Goal, the SDG, for eliminating child labor.
Education International is the global federation of education unions, representing more than 32.5 million teachers and education support personnel in 178 countries. Since its inception 28 years ago, EI has made the eradication of child labor one of its primary objectives. We currently have ongoing programs in 13 countries, mostly in Africa. There is consensus that the most effective way to eradicate child labor is to ensure access to equitable, inclusive, quality education for all. Quality education can break the generational cycles of poverty. We know that a child who works today instead of being in school is likely to be tomorrow's unemployed adult. However, putting children in school is not enough. Putting children in overcrowded classrooms, in schools without toilets or water, or not enough trained teachers can result in school dropouts. What all children need is a quality education ensured by three key pillars. Number one, qualified teachers with decent salaries and working conditions. Number two, quality tools and resources. Number three, safe, healthy, and supportive quality learning environments. To achieve this, governments should meet the internationally agreed benchmark of allocating at least 20% of the national budget, or at least 6% of GDP, to education.
One of the labor organizations which reported to the ILO conference was the Global Union IUF. The IUF represents 12 million workers employed in a wide range of sectors, including food supply, restaurants, and tourism. Its general secretary is Sue Longley.
COVID-19 hit the IUF's membership in very different ways, with our food and agricultural membership quickly classed as essential workers and obliged to carry on working, often putting their own health at risk to ensure the global supply of food, while workers in hotels, restaurants, and tourism were laid off in their millions as the sector closed. COVID-19 highlighted fundamental failures in our food system. In 2020, US researchers looking at occupational data on people aged 18 to 65 found workers in the food and agriculture sector were at the highest risk of death from COVID-19. We had COVID-19 hotspots in many parts of the food chain, but especially in meat packing and in vegetable pack houses. Why was this? Because these are sectors highly dependent on vulnerable and hugely exploited migrant workers, often living in overcrowded conditions and unable to isolate if they or members of their families fall sick because they have no access to proper sick pay or social protection. Access to sick pay and social protection should be a global right. The outsourcing and subcontracting that drive the exploitation of migrant workers has to end. We welcome the recent legislative change in the German meat sector that shows how this can be done. COVID-19 also revealed the very poor occupational health and safety practices in parts of the food chain. Social distancing was impossible in meat and other food processing facilities because of line speeds. And in agriculture, there was often no access to sanitizers or even to clean water for hand washing. This underlines the urgent need to implement the recommendation of the ILO Centenary Declaration to include occupational health and safety amongst the fundamental conventions. In the tourism sector, although there is a slow reopening in some parts of the world, the forecast is grim. The UN World Tourism Organization states that over 100 million jobs are at risk. We need an urgent global response, for example, a global tourism recovery summit, to ensure both a safe reopening and a move to a much more sustainable tourism sector with decent work and protection of the planet at its heart. We welcome the recognition in the DG's report that women have suffered disproportionate job and income losses during the pandemic. The pandemic also saw a shocking increase in domestic violence. This must drive efforts to ratify and implement Convention 190 to ensure women are both protected in the workplace and at home. The IUF joins our sister global unions in calling for a waiver of the intellectual property rights for COVID-19 vaccines and for increased funding to speed up production and access to vaccines. Finally, last week's ILO and UNICEF figures on child labour should have shocked and distressed the world. 8.4 million more children in child labour in the last 4 years, with millions more at risk due to the impacts of COVID-19.
Here with his report about union events is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of the general strike in Lebanon, the announcement of this year's winner of the Svensson Prize for Trade Union Rights, and the release of an ILO report on the 10th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of Domestic Workers that details just how little progress has been achieved by and for these workers. The emerging trend in our news coverage this week are the nurses' strikes that appear to be coming in Canada, New Zealand, Brazil, South Africa, Malaysia, Nigeria, Kenya, Peru, Paraguay, and in Argentina. Other healthcare workers are moving towards or have started walkouts in Australia and in Lebanon. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found coverage of a new and progressive law introduced in the Indian state of Kerala, which would provide domestic workers with an 8-hour day and mandated time off. We also covered the Swiss feminist strike for improved pensions and wage equality this week, and calls to stamp out sexism in the Olympics and for the International Olympic Committee to ensure the safety of women competitors and sports media workers. Our health and safety newswire highlighted the start of a French campaign against workplace racism, a new campaign to remove asbestos from British schools, and the ceremonies marking Zimbabwe's National Health and Safety Day, held annually in remembrance of the Hwange Kamandana coal mine disaster, which claimed the lives of 427 workers in 1972. Our photo of the week is of a Brazilian child's hand-drawn poster for this week's World Day Against Child Labor. Labor Start hosts online solidarity actions at the request of unions around the world. This week, we'd like to highlight an urgent appeal for online solidarity with Brazilian healthcare workers facing anti-union attacks by their government in the midst of the pandemic. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. It takes only seconds to send a message that could help change workers' lives for the better. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is a new Solidarity Forever.
No more division, no, we're bringing a new vision. And it's just in time from ashes, we give birth a new tradition. Solidarity forever with a new millennium flavor. Come here, divisions are created by those who doubt and fear. We give thanks to all the workers who put it all on the line. Those who took it to the streets, moving crowds with conscious rhymes. Those who gave their lives, give thanks to those who made laws. Laws only work for those who make them, not break them, be patient. The best way to protect your rights is by always knowing your rights. Without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. So put your hands together, all under one umbrella. It's time for unity, solidarity forever. Feel me? Stay rooted. Yo, your prophet's never seen. To help the people prosper. Your money's being hoarded and the people are unsupported. Social welfare's been aborted, labor crimes go unreported. When we try to fight back, it seems we can't afford it. We try to be united, but they're implementing laws that are keeping us divided. They're commodifying labor, then they're bidding for the lowest. They're thinking that it's clever, but we know it's something better. Solidarity forever.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.